Well, good morning, everybody. Can everybody hear me? I think that, well, firstly, thank you for the blessing, for the warm welcome. I think that chant that we started with is so appropriate to this series. We're here to talk about the naked now, learning to see as the mystic see. And the first thing I'd like to say about that is that we could talk about that for a week. And we could talk really learnedly about it for a week and really not know what the naked now is. We would not know what dualism is or non-dualism is. Why? Because non-dualism is an experience. It's not anything to do with thinking. So if we want to experience as the mystics experience, if we want to be in the naked now, we have to go beyond thinking. So just to say something this morning, so this is an opportunity. We started beautifully with that, bringing us to a place of quietness within. So this is a great opportunity to start to be present, to be here now. The great thing about practicing presence is you can always do it. There's no time like the present, is there? whenever the moment, whatever you're doing, you can be present. You don't have to wait till you get home and find your favorite chair, put on your favorite music, or go and find your favorite video, whatever it is. Whatever you're doing, an opportunity to be present. And what better opportunity than here is a group on the path seeking to know God. We've come together here for 2 hours. You're away from phones, you're away from all the distractions of the world, all the things that cause busy minds, cause activity in our lives, that put up a barrier between stillness and ourselves. So I invite you to use this opportunity. So to let today be a day where you can practice being present for the next 2 hours. Wonderful opportunity. Just to say something about the structure of the day, I think the presentations you've been having up to now has been a presentation and there's questions and answers. What I'd like to do today, if that's okay with you, is to have it much more interactive. We will do something, there'll be an opportunity for questions as we go along, there'll be opportunity for comments, there'll be opportunity for sharing. And just to say something in regard to questions, let your questions be to the point. So to get a really interesting question that's off the point is probably not all that helpful for the group. Maybe interesting, but it sort of takes us away. And also let your questions come from deep within yourself. So the more that you can, we've said that non-dualism is experience. It's nothing to do with information. We've got so much information that we can't cope with it all. So non-dualism, if that's where if we want to see it, the mystic see, if we want to learn to see it, the mystic see, that's where we've got to go. And so we can start this morning. And so even let your questions, if you have a question, let it come from a deeper place in yourself, let it come from someplace from your own experience. That's what would serve the group most, and that is what would serve you most. Because rather than coming from maybe more surface of our brain. So we'll pause just for a moment and just to check in with ourselves, to be more present, just for a moment, just come to. And one thing you can do, just if you want to quickly come to present at any time, is to listen. Just let the attention be on your listening. So hear the sounds in the room. Just focus fully on listening. Not thinking about listening, not thinking about what you're hearing, just feeling. Non-dualism is experience. So just let your attention be on what you're hearing. and the sounds beyond the room. Then, just aware of the sounds, not thinking about the sounds. And just widening your listening out as far as it will go, out into this community. All now for space. And you can ultimately listen to the silence. To start with an exercise, remembering a time you were in the now. Remembering a time in your life, sometime any time between your childhood and now, this moment in time, when you were really present. You weren't in the past, you weren't in the future, you were just fully alive in this moment. Very often we've had these experiences when we're in nature, and watching a lovely sunset up on a beach or a mountain, or walking in nature. Or it could have been some special occasion. Perhaps the day you got married, the birth of a child, some special occasion. Or it could have been a spiritual experience of some kind. Or being present when someone passed over. Maybe even have been at play or work. So whatever it was, just to remember today. So take a moment or two now. No rush. Just to choose one experience, sometime from the past, when you were in the now, when you were intensely present. Just let the experience come to you. And just take a moment or two to find it. And when you have found that experience or that occasion, relive the experience. Just to relive it as fully as you can. As vividly as you can. Be there again in that moment. See the sights, hear the sights, hear the sounds. If there were other people present, let them be present again, just for a moment or two. Reliving that experience in the mind. Be there as fully and as vividly as you can, just for another moment. as you continue to relive that time when you were very present, notice how you are feeling in your body. Just be aware of how you're feeling in your body. And your emotions. State of your emotions when you're very present. And the state of your mind. In the now, in the present moment. If you wanted to describe this experience of being in the now to a friend or a close family member, what word or words might you choose to describe it? To try and communicate it to them. Just choose a word or a couple of words. What is the experience of being in the now? Just a word, a couple of words that best describes what it feels like to be present, to be in the now. And now coming back to the room. This is an opportunity to share, and all sharing from the heart, all authentic sharing, is a gift to the rest of us. So, what word or words would you use to describe being in the now?
The finite in the infinite.
The finite in the infinite. Thank you. In the now is the finite in the infinite.
Fullness.
Fullness. Smart to say fullness. Is it?
Fun.
Fun.
And focused.
Fun and focused.
I was a kid.
You were a kid, great. I hope you still are. Some lady over here?
Peace.
Peace. And this lady?
Energized.
Energized. In the now we're energized, in the now we're peaceful.
Equanimity and fullness.
Suspension of time. Suspension of time. Timelessness. When we're in the now, we're experiencing timelessness.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. The heart opens, we feel great.
Exhilarated.
Exhilarated. Fantastic, isn't it? Exhilaration is just around the corner, isn't it? You don't have to go far to get it. Be present. Thank you for that.
Joy.
Joy. When we're in the now, when we're here very present, we experience joy.
Oneness.
Oneness. Good. So, in the now, we're at one. We don't feel separation. Fantastic. This gentleman? Gary.
Graced moment.
Graced moment. In the now is a graced moment. Isn't that fantastic? And what's the statement?
Connection.
Connection. Connection. So that's, in a way, that's one that you're just say another word or two on that. Connection. At one. Or
one.
Yeah, connection one. Thank you. And there's another hand here.
Fully alive.
Fully alive. When we're here now, when we're in the moment, we're fully alive. And there's a lady over here.
In awe.
In awe. Isn't that fantastic? To be in awe. And this lady is going to come here.
Beautiful and grateful.
Beautiful and grateful. Isn't that fantastic? I see another hand here, something like that.
Peace.
In the now, in the moment, I feel peace, or I experience peace. Michael.
Difference.
Difference. In the now, I feel difference. Could you just say another word or another?
Union but difference.
Union but difference.
Not but, union and difference.
Sorry, union and difference. I'm saying union. Can everybody hear the sharing? I'll repeat the best I can. Anyhow, this lady.
Transported.
And just maybe say another word or two on that.
Beyond. Lifted out.
Transported. Lifted out of your present, whatever your sense of yourself and so on is. Thank you.
Out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary. We're in the now, we're out of the ordinary. And this gentleman?
Insight.
Insight. In the now, in the present moment, there is insight. Thank you for that sharing. We'll come back to some of that a little bit later on. I think what I'd like to do now is to just reflect a little bit on that experience. Pose a question to you. When you are in the now, when you are experiencing all those lovely things that qualities, where are you thinking or where are you experiencing? Where are you in your rational mind or where are you beyond your rational mind? You're beyond your rational mind. Anybody want to say differently?
Back and forth.
You're back and forth. So that's probably for most of us because we can only hold it for so long because of all the busyness. But nevertheless, that is beyond the rational. So we can say that we... Sorry, this lady?
My words were preparation and letting go. So the preparation was rational and then letting go.
And the letting go, yeah. Yeah. So you were in the rational piece and then... So the first thing we can say is that when we're in the now, we're experiencing non-dualism. We're experiencing the naked now, we're experiencing as the mystics experience. And the second thing we can say is that all of you that had to share in that way and had that experience, is that you have now, if you haven't before, you've now know what non-dualism is. And that's worth at least several chapters. you've tasted non-dualism. My next question is, there was in the words that came through, that peace came through quite often, a couple of times. Let me ask, did people either experience in that state of being in the now, being intensely in the present moment, did you experience peace or stillness or silence, if not as the most predominant feeling, was it in the background for you? That's the case. Well, that's great, because scripture tells us that when we when the mind is still, when we're in stillness, we come to experience God. It is due to we did that chant this morning, be still and know that I am God. So if that's where we encounter God, in the stillness, in the silence within. And all of you that were in the now this morning, whether you were in it very intensely or just on the edge of it, you got a glimpse. You got a small taste of the divine. You may not have thought of it like that. You say, hang on a minute. that's going a little bit far for me. But if you were able to say, I experience love, if you're able to say, I experience oneness, if you're able to say, I experience joy, if you have the list of words there, Bob, I might just think. If you're able to say, I experience peace, those are qualities of the divine. Thank you. I just asked Bob to assist those things. If you were able to experience the infinite in the finite in the infinite, fullness, peace, energized, oneness, grace moment, fully alive and all, beautiful and graceful, all of those, then you have a glimpse. You had a glimpse of the divine. Be still and know that I am the Lord.
Sam, something more than myself was there in the process of that difference. That's what I meant by difference. Something more than, something beyond just me. It was quite different from, it wasn't just coming out of me, it was coming to me.
Mm-hmm. Or were you entering it?
Probably.
So in that thing, it is almost like it's that we, when we're in the moment, think, I'll just put this here to show you what to do with the thing. The divine is present in us at all times. The divine is present in us at all times. It's there. But what happens is that all our busy minds, our busy lives, our busy schedules, covers it up. You just can't get to it. It's a big, big barrier. Now, when we are able to have an experience like that you shared this morning, just for a moment or two, there's no barrier. And so there is, we connect with, Michael says, well, either it was with him or coming to him. So it's almost like that is there in me, it's in you, it's in everybody all the time, but because of all our sort of constant thinking, constant outward diversion in life, we never get to experience it. We only get to experience in grace moments. So we can know everything there is to know about God and not know God. And just to explain the word in that lovely verse from Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. What do we mean by know? Eckhart Tolle explains it beautifully in relation to honey. He says that you can learn everything there is to learn about honey. You can even do a PhD. Write a book on honey and not know honey. He said it is only when you taste honey do you know honey. Likewise with God. We can learn everything there is about God. We can go to all the speakers and we can read the books, and we might, you know, if we're really bright, sort of be able to write a learned book that will be used in the universities to teach us all about God and still not know God. Be still and know that I am God. It is only when we taste God, only when we experience God, do we know God.
Is it too loud or too?
Just a little bit. I can fix it.
Yeah. Maybe I should put it further away. And if we want to know God, then the doorway is stillness, the doorway is silence, the doorway is the present moment, the now. In that experience, any questions on that particular point of knowing God? Please feel free to put up your hand, and then if there's a question on any point that I'm saying, you say, not sure about that. But you don't have to ask a question. For the sake of asking questions.
I guess my experience of God is not always in the joy and in the beauty, but it's also in the pain and in the suffering and in the anger.
Right.
And sometimes when God is characterized as all that is beautiful, it separates out that other part of being human.
Right. Well, those are, I think what they're speaking of probably, and there's probably more learned person in the room than me, is the human aspect here. I don't think that the qualities of God include anger I don't think the qualities of God include. But we can obviously be in our pain and be with God. The thing is, it is just the body has pain. Or one of the emotions is, at the moment, is anger. And we can get to the stage where we can be aware of that and still aware of the peace in the background, the stillness in the background. So if we've journeyed into this, that God is in the background, or God is that peace or joy, or all the things that we spoke about here.
In relation to that, I think in my experience, in getting in touch with the pain, there's peace afterwards. And I feel that could be, that to me is not peace.
That to you is what?
Well, I think once we get out of our head and feel our feeling or emotion,
that's
really deep, then I think sometimes, for me, I feel like there's a peace.
Yes.
And I'm not in my head.
Right.
And I feel connected to God.
Yeah. Great. And that's...
So it's after...
After the pain, or when that, but the pain will sort of can rise up in you and take away your peace, can't it? Take away your joy momentarily. I'll just take one more question, and then I think it's the state of the back first, and then I'll move on. But I'm still open. I just want to also keep a little eye on the clock. Sorry.
I was going to share that last night we were in the cars with some of the homeless. We were doing the survey. And afterwards, when we were sharing together that experience, so many of us talked about the faith that came through these people who had let go kind of everything.
Right, yeah.
But they were just so profoundly full of faith. It was just justified.
Right.
And we all shared it with
you. Fantastic, yeah. When Eckhart Tolle, I'm not sure if anybody knows Eckhart Tolle, but he's written a book called The Power of Now. And when he had his transforming experience, he was in huge pain. Huge pain. He was almost suicidal depressive. And the pain got so much that he said to one episode, I'm not sure I want to be here any longer. I can no longer live with myself. And with that, suddenly a question rose in his mind, well, is there one of you here or is there two of you? Who can't live with whom? And out of that, he sort of had some sort of experience where he lost consciousness, he just heard the words, resist nothing, and when he woke up the following morning, it was peace, it was light. What he found was then that in that state of peace and joy he was a lecturer at Cambridge, that there was nothing that could add to it. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing in the world that you can add to it. So after, I think, about 5 months, he gave up his job and went and lived on a park bench for 2 years. 3 years, something like that. And it's only when people started coming to him and sort of saying, Eckhart, can you teach us, or can you show us what you've got so that we can have the same, that peace and the joy? So that's the thing. So often when you're in that, no amount of houses or cars or all that sort of stuff, good meals, is going to be of any interest whatsoever, because nothing can compare.
I think that what the woman over there and myself about pain,
yeah.
There isn't a peace afterwards. It's more of a comforting, and it's not afterwards. It's during.
Right, yeah.
It's during. It's still there, but there's a comforting as well.
Well, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it didn't have that
comfort.
thank you for sharing that. Next question, we're just examining the experience of being in the now. Next question is, when you were experiencing what you were experiencing, the fullness, joy, the peace, connection, oneness. Was that coming from within you or beyond? Was the emanation, if we say that those are qualities of the divine, was those qualities within you, or were they something like that? What would you say? Pardon? Mary?
Both.
Both. So they were within and beyond, and what did you say?
It's the beyond within you.
So if I tried to put words in that with my rational mind, so it was experience within, but you were aware it was the beyond. Is that something like that? And this lady here, Anne, is it?
Years ago, I was concerned about a child who was out late at night, and I was worried about that child. And I was in bed and I couldn't sleep because I was so worried. And I just said, God, please give me peace.
Yeah.
And it was from outside, like a blanket of peace came over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely not from within.
But where did the answer? And where did you experience it at?
When?
Where?
Where? I was in bed.
No. Was it within your experience?
No, it was like I was covered with a blanket of peace. It was came from without, though. But then I experienced that total peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you experienced. So which kind of ties with what Mary said. Somebody else see one?
Do these experiences of non-dualism necessarily have to be peak experiences? I was talking to my friend on the subject yesterday, and he brought up cooking. You know, he likes to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about all of the senses that are involved, the smell of the food, tasting the food, the rhythm that he gets into when he's cooking, the sound of water boiling, and so forth. And I'm sure that when he's cooking like that, he gets lost in the process. And it's a non-dualistic experience. But I'm also pretty sure when he's finished cooking and puts it on the table, that he doesn't say, wow, that was a peak experience. He would be more likely to say, if anything, that was very ordinary.
Absolutely. What Bernie's saying here about cooking, and which can be an experience of joy. It can be joyful to cook. And why can it be joyful to cook? And very many repetitive tasks are like this. They take you out of your thinking. They bring you present. He is present to chopping the carrots. He's present to making the sauce. He's present to the smells, the taste, the sound, the kettle boiling, all that stuff. So they take him away from, and they lift up all that thinking barrier that's going on. And he wouldn't say wow, because mostly that would be the rational mind. That would be the ego coming in and claiming, I've done a fantastic meal. This is, I don't. Now, enjoy it, and then tell me how good it is, and tell me how good I am. So you're absolutely right. That is it, another taste. And the more that we can be present to what we're doing, the more that we get tiny glimpses. Playing sport is a great example for people. Some people are almost in the zone in playing sport. Just another flavor, another. This is a diamond. There's many, many sides, but it will shine through many ways. Absolutely.
I just want to point out that from myself and from reading, I think there's a sensorial aspect to feeling well.
Yeah.
I think like the nature experience, it's visual, it's through the nose, it's multisensorial, but I think music is another way. So it is definitely connected to the senses, and maybe just this friend that the smell of the food in itself can take him to a different level.
Yeah, but the question is, that's absolutely right. It can. Music can, nature can, all the senses can. Because when you're fully smelling, when you're fully listening to a bird on the tree, when you're fully tasting the good drop of red, and you're just there, that's just the taste, you're beyond the mind. You're in non-dualism at that moment. Maybe only speaking. But that's who you are. And so this is why the senses are a fantastic technique, if you like. That's probably not the best word. Technique, so that the more that you can, we start with a little exercise this morning, just listen to the sounds in the room. You sit and listen to the sounds in the room, you go and sit under a tree in a garden or something, just listen to the sounds.
Yeah, but you turn the recording of the birds on just at the right
time. My middle name is Francis. I had a word before I came in, and I said, look, I'm going to do this, you keep it here open, and as soon as I do it, you turn it on.
I turned off the garbage truck,
yes. This is it. But even listening to a garbage truck. You see, sometimes when we listen to things that we want to have sounds that we like. And so whenever you resist something, like the mind is coming into play, the garbage truck seems quite nice. We've got a little boy, 2 years old, and the garbage truck comes 2 houses down. There's sort of like at the back of where there's a shopping center. And the garbage truck arrives, and it's garbage! Garbage! He loves the sound of the garbage truck. Out through the door to watch the garbage truck, pick up the garbage and put it in. Now, because we have some ideas about garbage trucks, we think that they're not a nice sound, but a bird in a tree is. So, garbage truck, all the things that we don't like, is just that we have an attitude towards it. But sound is still sound.
Garbage truck story. I was at Shoreline Park. A mother came in with 2 children. One was she was carrying. The other was a little boy. Was near the parking lot. The garbage truck pulled in. The boy's attention turned to the garbage truck. Then he realized his mom and his brother were going in the opposite direction. He looked. He followed for a short way. Stopped. Turned around. Watched the garbage truck again. He couldn't decide to stay with his family.
There you are. Yeah, the garbage truck, he was totally there. That little child was in the moment, at that moment. And then he suddenly, a thought came in, where's Manny? And the garbage truck. Sheila.
May I suggest instead of technique the door?
I was thinking of the door.
A door. Thank you. That's a fantastic word. It's a door, it's a doorway, it's a portal to be one, to be present. I'd like to read you a quote from one of the creative mystics, the much quoted Meister Eckhart. In the inner person dwells God, the truth, who cannot be reached by those who seek him in externals. God, whose nature is always and only within, and in the most inward place. In the inner person dwells God, the truth, who cannot be reached by those who seek him in externals. God, whose nature is to be always and only within, and in the most inner place. Externals don't help if we want to experience God, if we want to know God. It's not to be found in externals. And one from St. Augustine. O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Too late have I loved you. I was outside and you were within me. And I never found you until I found you within myself. O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Too late have I loved you. I was outside and you were within me. And I never found you until I found you within myself. There dwells the divine presence. So we may conclude from Meister Eckhart and from St. Augustine, that the divine abides in you, it abides in me, and abides in everyone. And God is not in the externals, but there. And therefore the journey to God, experiencing as the mystics experienced it, knowing God, is a journey within. Let me ask another question, a rhetorical question. What does Jesus have to say about the divine within? Quite a lot, actually. Quite a lot. One of the first and most important things he said was, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I just read you a quote from St. Luke. The kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen. This is when he was asked by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom come? No one would say, look, here it is, or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That's where he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. And if the kingdom of God is within us, what is the doorway, what is the portal to get there? Richard Rohr in his book The Naked Now says, the naked now is the kingdom of God. The naked now is the kingdom of God. Eckhart Tolle doesn't use the word God. He says the word God because we've got, you know, so much baggage and so many people, different things, so many people get quite emotional about it. He uses the word being. But he says the now is a portal into experiencing being. And he says being can be felt but never understood. Never understood. Being can be felt but never understood. So you never think your way into heaven, you never read your way into heaven. You might feel your way into heaven, you might experience your way into heaven. And you can experience your way into heaven if it's within you. How do we get through there? Just be in the now, and you can get a taste of the kingdom of heaven. So the now is a doorway. And when you are in the now, you've got a glimpse. Again, maybe depending on the intensity of your experience in the now, maybe a fainter glimpse or more fuller glimpse, but you've got a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Just to give you on the kingdom of heaven, if we'll go into it a bit deeper, I'll just read you a quote by St. Isaac of Syria, 6th century. To enter the treasure chamber that is within, try to enter the treasure chamber that is within, and then you discover the treasure chamber of heaven. They are one and the same. If you succeed in entering one, you succeed in entering both. So if you succeed in entering the treasure chamber that is within, come to that awareness of the peace, the joy, just to be in that moment experiencing oneness, then we're also experiencing heaven, getting a taste of heaven. That last one, St. Isaac of Syria.
But
please do.
God's not enough.
You want more?
Yeah. That word is not
enough. That word has. I would love to do like Eckhart Tolle and use another word, but that's the word we're familiar with, and that's, you know, the word in the Christian scriptures, because we have very. We have concepts around the word God, we have feelings around the word God, we have all sorts of baggage around the word God, and in fact it can be a real impediment.
I think among so many people in our generation, not my generation, not our generation, most other people.
The more female generation, yeah.
It's not what they're looking for.
Yeah, it's not what they're looking for, absolutely. And that's where I think that somebody like Eckhart Tolle or some of the more contemporary mystics, like the mystics that often we quote, like Meister Eckhart and others. They were, you know, off their time and off their culture and off their spiritual tradition. So that's the word they use. But because in these times, you know, we have baggage, or we went to church and somebody insisted on wrapping it into us, you know, it leaves a taste in the mouth. And it's very hard to shift. And therefore, when somebody comes and talks to you about God, you say, well, no, don't talk about God. I don't, no, don't hear that. But talk to them about being. Like, I do some courses and there's a workshop in the Power an Hour, and they're totally open to it. Say, yep, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And so having those experiences of union and non-dual experiences, and they don't want to shut them out. They don't want us to tell them to stop.
And they don't want you to tell them it's God. Mm-hmm. Some people.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, that's what language does, and it gets corrupted and it gets sullied and it gets claimed, and some people claim, well, only my God is the right God and all the rest of you are outside the pale. I've been told that as well. So I know what it is, and so it's not a word, but I thought, this is a good Catholic group. Oh, they're like, oh, sorry.
Not necessarily.
A term that's helpful to me, I've begun to use grand organic design. in more new paradigm scientific ways. It's the same.
It's more than God.
Yeah, it is our
grand
organic design and everything else that
we do. See, the thing about God is a word. God is not God. God is a word. And any word you use is not God. That's a concept. It might be a finger pointing at God, but it's not God. And so that's what we have to remember. But none of it, I could come up with the most beautiful expression and say, oh, you've got it. Poetic the law. Just an expression. Just a few words. Mind stuff. Pardon?
It's okay to use the word. I didn't mean to distract you, but I just know that the resistance to, even in myself, to God,
yeah,
as I've been told about.
Yeah, yeah. So being is another word. This is a gentleman here.
Yeah, speaking to that, I've experienced discussing this with a lot of people, different thoughts. Used. And most of them have a very immature look at God. If I ask them where did they arrive at this concept of God, it's usually in their teens or younger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they are no longer teens and younger.
Yeah.
And they have grown and advanced. Mm-hmm. So I say to them, well, just advance your concept, mature your concept.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, we're stuck on our childhood teaching, whether that is within the church or with parents or school or whatever it is. This is God, and it's hard to move from that.
Yeah.
Hard to move from that.
It's very immature.
It is, because it's not the reality.
Yeah.
Not the reality.
Yeah.
The sick lady, please.
Yeah, you know, in 12-step programs, a lot of people rely on higher power.
Yeah.
Either agnostic or
just to have that experience. Yeah. This lady's saying in 12-step programs, a lot of people use the word higher power. And that's a lovely expression. Mm-hmm. Some people use the word the source, as my source for the source. That's another lovely word, because it is in a way your source of all that. Or the universe. So I sometimes use the word the universe. Mm-hmm. My sister, who's quite a strong fundamentalist Christian, never hears me when I say things like that. You're kind of deaf in that ear if I make comments like that. Don't say that in the Bible. Sorry, Anne.
I was just thinking, when you live in the now with that awareness of the presence of God, you see God in other people too.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
absolutely.
The presence of people is God.
Absolutely. This is, and let me quote you now. This will lead beautifully into a quote by Jim Maron, who wrote a book called Putting on the Mind of Christ. Excellent book, where he says, I'm just quoting a little piece on the kingdom of heaven. By the kingdom of heaven, Jesus meant a particular level of human consciousness, not a place where Christians are, destined after death. In summary then, the kingdom of God as seen and preached by Jesus is a non-dual consciousness which sees no separation between God and humans, or between humans and other humans. So the kingdom of God is, when you arrive at the kingdom of God, you will not be aware of any separate what you're saying, as you start to see then the divine in others, you start to see the good, the beauty in others, because there's no sense of separation. And I think a couple of comments this morning, and then now there's no sense of separation, no separation between yourself and other humans, no sense of separation between yourself, sense of separation between yourself and God. And that kind of leads me into the last question. Did most people just have a little sense of oneness or no separation, or when you're in the now and you're making now? Mm-hmm. And just a couple of other things on what Jesus said about God. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven." So that's the prayer we've been given. Our Father who art in heaven. So, and his word for God was Father. It's a lovely word. Abba. If the kingdom of heaven is within, then where was he saying God is? Where was he saying God? And when he went on to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. What was he asking, Mr. What was he praying for? Was he praying for some utopia suddenly to arrive on the earth? Or was he praying that we might become aware of the kingdom?
Aware. Two levels of reality. The earth referring to, the concrete world.
And this is the earth too?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the heaven being.
Yeah. It's
an awakening.
It's an awakening. Great word. Mm-hmm. Great word. Awakening. This is an awakening. It is awakening. Because he talked about when Jim Moran said that the kingdom of heaven, Jesus meant a particular level of human consciousness. It is awakening to that level of consciousness that you experience in the now. But when you're in that level of consciousness, there's no sense of separation. I've just got a couple of minutes to go and then I'll pause for a cup of tea. So. Pardon?
The word alignment comes to mind.
Alignment. Very good word. Very good. So what this lady is saying is the word alignment is becoming to line with God. He also said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All else will be added unto you. When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, what's he saying? Now I want you all to be good, and I want you all to be doing good, and then when you die, you can come into heaven. Or what he's saying, I want you all to become aware of the kingdom within yourself, the kingdom of heaven within yourself. Seek ye first. This is, to me, as I was preparing for this talk this morning, this was the most revelatory thing that I come across. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. So if he is saying to me, seek ye first that awareness of the divine within, that's the number one prayer. Seek ye first. Number one prayer in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all else will be added. If we were to find ourselves in the happy position where our level of consciousness was aware of the oneness, the no separation, the presence of God within, would we have any worries about our material limbs and all the kinds of things? Would we find all sorts of doors standing in our way and blocking us and all those kinds of things? No. When we get to that level, then it's almost like there's a sort of that we're much more in the flow of life, and our needs will become different. Our how we see our neighbor, how we see our friends will be different. So to seek that, and if that is it, so it's not about the externals, it's not about all the many things that we busy ourselves with. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is Mother Teresa's motto. Mother Teresa is a great example of someone who spent her life. She told her nuns not to try and ever convert anybody. She just said to them, don't all the Hindus and Buddhists and all the Muslims and all the things that she encountered in Calcutta, you're not there to proselytize anybody. She said, Be Jesus. So it's about, and her one of her words of prayer was oneness. I've got one point to think, and then we'll pause for a second. I just want to say one last thing on the kingdom of heaven. I know you'd love a cup of tea now, so you can get your sensorial opportunity to be even more fully than now. As you taste your cookie and have your cuppa. And Jesus also said, the Father and I are one. Jesus also said, the Father and I are one. He also said, and many things similar to this, it's not I who do these things, it is he that is within me. So do you think that Jesus was aware of the kingdom of heaven within? Think he was aware of the divine presence within himself? Mm-hmm. Clearly, very powerfully. And it's perhaps that's why he could do miracles, he could do what he could do, is because he never claimed anything for himself. He never claimed that, you know, he just claimed he was a human, the Son of Man.
Right.
And he never claimed any divine ship for himself. He said, it's God in me. And do you think that if you reached the level where you were so aware, so present to the divine within you, that perhaps you could heal others, that you could? And that perhaps he's calling us to do that. And calling us to tea. So pause there for tea. And just before we do, what I'm going to do is invite you for the next 10 minutes to have your cup of tea in silence. Just in silence. So today, this morning is about, you don't have to, there's no bubble that bar you if you break it, but we're here this morning, so we're saying that non-duality is about experience. It's about experience. And so in the silence, once we get into chatting and all the rest of it, where does the silence go, where does the stillness go?